Looking Forward.
Hello and welcome to another edition Looking Forward with me, Svetlana Yakimenko.
And with me, Victor Arafeev. Hello, everybody.
Victor, how do you feel about robots in everyday life? Would you like a robot to do your housework at home?
Well, I saw recently this Japanese robot, very nice. And I wanted, of course, to buy a small robot. Yes, small robot to my daughter to play with. But still, I think one thing is a toy, robot toy, and the other thing, robot with arms and powerful weapons and so on and so on.
I know that they are, in Japan, I think they even have hotels where there are robots everywhere. Robots meeting you at reception, robots maids, robots serving your lunch. I'm not sure I would like that.
No, they are very nice. Like a toy. Like a toy, they're very nice. But, you know, there's still a difference between a toy and a real machine.
I'm afraid
which could kill you.
Exactly. I'm afraid there's no going back. I mean, obviously, artificial intelligence has invaded our life and is here to stay and will most likely be everywhere sooner or later.
You know, recently I met a Manchester professor who is involved in this field. He is working on artificial intelligence. Oh, and you know what is really different between writer and professor means we still are on the side of morals. And he is just enthusiastical to find something, to organize something. He said, now we are working on this intelligence, this artificial intelligence, and in 10 years we'll have it. And I said, and so, but he said, but firstly we should do it, and then we'll see. And this is
right.
Not so
I would question
safe.
Why? I mean, why? Okay, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs with artificial intelligence taking over.
Yeah, well, they said, I mean, it was a conference in Heidelberg when I met him. They said that they already organized, means they built already the artificial intelligence or brain of a little mouse.
And really?
Yes, and it looks like a big shell.
Oh, my gosh. That's quite fascinating.
Yeah. It's fascinating, but still, you know, I don't know how to think about that. I have no answer to it. I mean that, of course, we need, and you remember there was a big fight in England against these machines who started to work in factories, and there was this famous Ludist movement and so on. And of course, there I was, let's say, on the side of machines, on the side of tools, because it was necessary to do that. But still there is a moment, like we say in our program, it's a red line, and after that you don't know what to do with that.
Exactly. And of course, I mean, we're talking about robots and artificial intelligence, well, permeating everything, our whole life. And of course, there's the issue of robotics and artificial intelligence in weaponry. And, of course, we've all read this a while ago. There was this letter by a group of tech gurus, including British scientist Stephen Hawking, and they made the headlines, and they were saying that people have to be warned against development of so-called killer robots, and they were referring to autonomous weapons, artificial intelligence that can, you know, select targets without human interference, and that is scary. I have to say, that is really scary. I would like to talk with our guest about this. He is Noel Sharkey, chairman of the International Committee for Robot Arms Control and Emeritus Professor of Artificial Intelligence and Robotics at the University of Sheffield. I'm going to talk about whether people are right to fear the rise of the artificial intelligence.
Looking Forward.
Now, the scientists painted a doomsday scenario of autonomous weapons falling into the hands of terrorists or dictators. I have to say, frankly, it kind of seems far-fetched. Is this fear-mongering or is it really that ominous?
I don't think it's far-fetched at all, and I don't think it's a doomsday scenario, because if you think about it, we're talking here, or they're talking about autonomous weapons, simply weapons that, if they're once they're released, will select their own targets and kill them. And if you're not interested in compliance with the laws of war, the Geneva Conventions, etc., these are very easy to make, and I could make one in a couple of weeks, really. All you need is a couple of heat sensors on a robot and a machine gun, and you're away. So it's not far-fetched at all.
Now, the above-mentioned letter is concerned with dumb robots and vehicles being turned into smart, autonomous weapons. Cruise missiles and remotely piloted drones seem to be okay, according to the letter. Why is that?
I don't think that anybody really... I mean, the letter is just about from artificial intelligence researchers, and they're not concerned about cruise missiles or remotely piloted drones, because remotely piloted drones have little to do with artificial intelligence until you take the pilot or computer operator out of the loop. So at the moment, with drones, you've got two operators, sensor operator and a remote control pilot, sitting at big screens, and they're selecting targets themselves. The problem with this technology is when it gets to the point where the decision to kill someone, to track the target and kill them, is left completely in the hands of a computer, and that's what they're worried about. I personally would also be a bit worried about cruise missiles when you get to the point where you can put software on there so that they can hunt and select their own targets as well.
Is it possible for us to keep regulating ourselves, including artificial intelligence, so that we don't do serious damage?
I really hope so. With the autonomous weapons systems, we're already making very good progress at the United Nations at a committee called the CCW. And that committee is really concerned with prohibiting certain weapons, and it's already prohibited 5 classes of weapon. And we're trying to get an international treaty here with legal teeth that will completely ban weapons that can go out, select their own targets and kill them without human intervention. Now, I'm not sure how easy it will be to continue to regulate against the idea of putting sensors on the battlefield that trigger other weapons, but we'll see. We have to start somewhere, and we're making very good progress at the moment.
Looking forward. Well, yes, the way I see it, according to Professor Sharkey, the scary bit is if you take the pilot or the person operating the weapons out of the equation, that's when it gets dangerous. Whilst there's a person manipulating this artificial intelligence, well, at least there is that red line that we've been talking about. Once you take the pilot out of the equation and it's all in the programming, anything can happen.
Yeah, if we speak now about smart wars, but I think the war shouldn't be too smart. I think it should be still in the human hands. And if really here in this century we need some wars, it is still a war of humans, but not of robots. Because I think that if we speak about red line, I think that when this intelligence, this artificial intelligence start to be more perfect than the human one, then we'll have some problems. You remember this, the chess champions,
yeah.
They start to play with robots now with a real fear, because they said they feel like a big wall coming to them.
They actually describe this feeling.
Yes, and several of them, but not only one, think that you cannot resist because they are more powerful. The same with other robots. You know, you remember there was also the time of enthusiasm when women said, in the kitchen we need robots.
Oh,
you remember?
Yes. Always looking for help in the kitchen.
Yes. And it was something like 40, 50 years ago, I suppose. It was still recently. And now I don't hear a lot of women speaking about robots in the kitchen.
But I'm afraid, I mean, look, as Professor Sharkey said, it's very easy to make. He said one could make one of these autonomous weapons, well, in a matter of weeks, really. That's something that I can understand people being afraid of. But of course, I mean, if work is being done at the United Nations, if there's the CCW, there are other organizations that are working to ensure that there are limits to all this, then perhaps what we've just been talking about. Perhaps there will be, well, certain restrictions. Let's get back to Professor Sharkey. But let's look at it from another aspect. There are many areas where artificial intelligence, I mean, albeit handled in the right way, could be very beneficial to humanity. But really, once the consumer market takes over, well, there's no telling what might happen, right?
Yes, I mean, it could be a bit unpredictable. I'm not terribly worried, except that in the future, I'm worried about us reaching a point where there's too much automation. And we need to, as a planet, as a people on this planet, we really need to decide how much control we cede to these machines. And they don't need to be super intelligent machines. I'm talking about automation. So I'm concerned about the automation of warfare. But many people are concerned about the kind of automation that's coming into force at the moment in many, many areas that are normally the province of humans, in medicine, in childcare, in elder care, and in fact, in the workplace, because there are several books at the moment explaining and giving statistics showing that we could expect massive unemployment. There's already a lot of jobs being lost in Wall Street, for instance. Something like 50,000 stockbrokers have lost their jobs to computer systems. And in China, more than 1 million people have lost their jobs to robot machines. So that's a big concern of us reaching a point of automation where people are put out of work. And many people in big industries say, well, that's okay, because don't forget, that means you'll be able to do what you want to do. You'll be able to have more leisure time. But then who's going to pay for this? And they certainly aren't.
What is the intended goal of the warning letter presented at the opening of the 2015 International Joint Conference on Artificial Intelligence here? Is it just aimed at generally raising awareness of the issue?
I think that the goal really is to help support our efforts towards a ban for lethal autonomous weapons. And that will be of great help, because we've now got a lot of scientific community behind us, and that's important. There are something like 17,000 people have signed, and 2,500 of those are computer scientists, artificial intelligence researchers, and roboticists. And we've also got the leaders in the field, really. So it's a very good boost to our efforts at the UN to get these weapons banned.
And let's look at the near future. How do you personally see this all playing out?
Future is not really my period, simply because one thing that AI has been very good at since the 1950s is making false predictions, or predictions out of hand. And why it's so difficult is because roboticists work in their laboratories and do research and make things that then manufacturers think that will be useful, and they make product. But what really happens then is these products can be repurposed by other people. The consumer gets them and they change things. What I see is really happening, playing out, is the idea of the Internet of Things, the idea that robotics technology will be connected to the Internet. And you see massive companies like Google, who have invested a fortune now in buying some of the best robot companies in the world. But they've also bought companies like Nest, that companies where you can control your Internet, control your refrigerator or your household alarm or your thermostat from the Internet. So we're going to see much more connection between robotic, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and the Internet, all integrated together, and big data as well.
Looking forward. I rather like the idea of using the Internet to control my fridge.
Yeah. About the future, right? I think that what is really necessary for humanity is to be smart.
Mm.
Just to be smart, and then to continue with all these investigations in robots and so on and so on. Because if one day humanity start to be a little bit stupid, then something bad happened.
And I just understand that you have to look at two things here. When we're talking about automated weapons, artificial intelligence used for weaponry, yes, work should be done in the field to ensure that there are bans there. But as for automation in general, yeah, we have to decide just how much we cede to the robots, of course, because I was mentioning at the beginning of the program, of course, unemployment. There'd be massive unemployment if robots take over. And how can you say, well, that's good because people will have more free time? What are they going to do with that free time? And why should we have too much free time? That's also bad, having too much free time on your
hands.
Absolutely
true. Yeah, well, this is a really big problem, and I think that we'll discuss it more in our future programs.
Exactly. And it's time for us to say goodbye on Looking Forward. I'm Svetlana Yakimenko.
And with me, Viktor Arafeev. Goodbye, everybody. All the best to you, and talk to you in the week.